Yeah. Oh, we got to read on Sunday too, Pastor, because you give us the Bible and we, yes, you read on Sunday yourself. You don't just, you know, don't just let the preacher give you your Bible reading. You get it yourself. I read it every day. I don't have any preacher giving it to me but me, so, and God, of course. 1 Kings chapter 20, look at verse 28. I'm going to read down to verse 30, 28 to 30. 1 Kings 20, verse 28. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And it was so that in the 7th day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in 1 day. But the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city into an inner chamber. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together today. Lord, what a blessing to be saved. Lord, what a blessing it was to see all these people stand up. Most stood up on Sunday. That's the day I was saved. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for that. Thank you for your salvation. And thank you, Lord, just making it free for us. What a blessing. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to pay anything. We don't have to go anywhere to get it. We can just get it right from you, Lord. And we're so grateful and thankful for that. Lord, bless the service. Lord, help me. Hide me behind the cross. I pray, Lord, that you would get all the glory and the credit today for the message. Lord, again, thank you for this book that we can have a message from the Word of God. Speak to hearts today, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated now. As I was reading this and I came across, there's so much in this chapter. I mean, it's quite a long chapter. We see leading up to this that Ben-Hadad, he was the evil king of Syria, and he went out, he wanted to go against Israel, the northern kingdom. Remember, Israel now has been split. The nation proper has been split into two. You have the northern kingdom, which is Israel, and you have the southern kingdom, that was Judah. And so we're dealing with, and Syria is just north of Israel. And so Ahab, one of the worst kings of Israel, gets a blessing from God. Figure that one out. Ahab should have died a long time ago. Jezebel, he married Jezebel, a Baal worshiper. She brought literally a lot of Baal worship into the kingdom, into Israel. And Ahab was a bad king, and he didn't have a whole lot going for him, except God was still blessing Israel. And God showed his grace on Ahab, which, if it was me, I probably wouldn't have done that. Maybe you wouldn't have either, but God is a God of grace. So Ben-Hadad brings his army, and he comes and he tells Israel in the first few verses there, and he says, I'm going to come, and I want all your silver, I want your gold, I want your wives, and I want your kids, to Ahab. You know what Ahab does? You can have it all. He surrenders. He just, without even arguing, he says, okay, you want my silver, gold, my wives and my kids, go ahead, you can have them. And then they send word back and says, oh, by the way, tomorrow we're going to come in and we're not only going to get your gold and your silver and your wives and your children, but we're going to go through your homes. And if there's anything else in your homes that we want, that we like, that you like, that looks like it's valuable to you, we're taking that also. Ahab goes to the elders and the group of people that were kind of in leadership of that day. And they said, don't give in to Ben-Hadad. We stand up against him, Ahab. And of course, he decides to stand up against them. But I don't think he was going to unless the leadership of that country stepped in and said, you need to stand up. You don't need to consent to what is going on here. And so a prophet comes and tells Ahab what to do. And Ahab says, you know, like, well, who's going to lead this army? You are. I mean, you know, like, come on, be a man. Man up, Ahab. You're going to do this. And so Ahab does. And he takes the army and he goes out and he has a tremendous victory. He doesn't have that many people. He's got 232 and about 7,000 from what I gathered from this. I don't know exactly how many, but that looks to me like that's about what he had. And already by when I read those verses a few minutes ago, 127,000 of the Syrians died in the battle with 7,232 of the Israelites going against them. So who was doing all of that work? God was. God was literally on the side of Ahab and Israel. But that's not the message. The message is found in verse 28. Look at verse 28. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. I want to bring a message today simply entitled, and I never preached this before that I know of, The God of the Mountain and the God of the Valley. God is not only the God of the hills, the mountains, but God is also the God of the valleys. There's a song that maybe you might know the song. It was written, I believe, by Linda Randall. And I'm not going to sing it for you, but I'm just going to give you the lyrics. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. And you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're not alone, never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. We talk of faith way up on the mountain, but talk comes easy when life is at its best. Now it's down in the valleys, trials and temptations, that's where your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God of the night. Unfortunately, bad things happen to good people. You're not getting away from that. You're not going to get around that. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good, godly, God-fearing Christians. We've seen that down through the years. We've seen it in this church. Your faith, listen to me, your faith is determined by your trust. Your faith is determined by your trust. Do you trust God or not? It comes down to that. Do you trust God or not? Is he the same God in the valley as he is on the mountaintop? Or has God changed somewhere down the slope of the mountain to the valley? Is God different in the valley as on the mountaintop? Of course not. Trusting God through the rough and the tough times is easy to prescribe to someone else. Sometimes it's very difficult to live yourself. It's easy for the preacher to get up and bring this message. It's a whole different thing for the preacher or whoever to live through what I'm preaching. Mountaintops. You like those mountaintops? Aren't they nice? I just wrote a bunch of things down for mountaintop experiences. Plans are going your way. Hallelujah. Everything is just clicking along in life. Job is great. You even have some money with a little extra that you can do some things that maybe you normally wouldn't. The family is doing good, no major issues, health is good, you feel pretty well, you're having more good days than bad days, that's a blessing. You're getting along with everyone and everyone seems to be getting along with you. You're upbeat, positive on life, smiling as you go. Where's those guys with the lemons? Doug said that he was going to give some lemons to people and they were going to sit in church today with sucking on lemons. I said, you don't have to. There's some people that look like that anyway. You don't have to give them a lemon. It just comes natural for some. But mountaintops. We like the mountaintops. We like the mountaintop experiences. We like it when everything is going our way, right? We like it when things are just kind of clicking along and things are good. We like that. Everything seems to be running Nothing is breaking down right now. The health is fairly good. We're getting along with people, and things are just going well. The boss is treating us good, and we're treating the boss good, and the money is flowing in, and we're doing all right. Mountaintops. But then there's some valleys that come along, because you can't stay on the mountaintop forever. You got to come down off the mountaintop. Valleys can be dark, damp, and gloomy. There's sometimes depression in the valleys. You ever been depressed? Have you ever gone through depression? We all go through depression at times. Oh, yeah. Just nod your head. Yeah, agree. You're going to have some. Now, maybe you're one of those real super positive guys or gals, and everything is cool. You're cool all the time. And everything is wonderful. For the most part, I don't look at every problem and trial as some disaster that's going to, wipe us off the face of the earth. But maybe you've gone through some depression. Hopefully they're short little jaunts of depression. Hopefully you're not depressed for a long period of time. That's when it gets extremely dangerous. Do you know it's okay to be depressed for a little bit? Did you know that? It's okay. David went through all kinds of depression. Just read the Psalms. He's depressed at the beginning of the Psalm, but he's praising God at the end of the Psalm. So it's only for a short time that he's going through that. And so we go through those things. Your plans maybe have been interrupted. I'm still talking about valleys. Things aren't going as you thought they should have gone. Life is not turning out the way that you wanted it to turn out. You've got problems at work. Your problems seem to be overwhelming you. You got problems with the family. Things are going on within the family that is just really, really bothering you. These are valley experiences. Your finances are in the tank. No light at the end of the tunnel, or very little light at the tunnel's end. Just don't know how you're going to make ends meet. I don't know how I'm going to pay my cell phone bill. Get rid of the cell phone. How do I pay my cable or my satellite TV? Get rid of it. You're better off without it anyway. Amen. Amen. Your health is bad. Bad news from the doctor. Things are just, your body's just not working right. You think that God is all done with you. You think that God is not listening to your prayers when you pray. You're saying to yourself, I don't think my prayers are getting above the ceiling. You're in a valley experience, but God is still the same God in the valley as He is on the mountaintop. I want to give you a few things today that might help. We got a blessed message last night, I got to tell you. Doug stole some of my notes. I just know he got them from somewhere. But I told him last night, I had it already prepared and typed out before last night's thing. And he goes to James chapter 1. So let's go over to James chapter 1. That's where I already had this down. And so what you heard, if you were here last night, you're going to get a double whammy of this. But I'm coming in from a different direction. All right? So we'll just give you a few other things, and we'll compliment Brother Doug's message last night, I think. You got to remember, ladies and gentlemen, God is the same God when all the things are going good in your life and things are going horrible in your life. We still have the same God. We have to understand that and realize that. So what do we do when we're going through some mountaintops or some valleys? James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy when. Not if, not maybe or might. You count it all joy when. In other words, if you're expecting an easy life, you're in for the shock of your life. Those of us that have been around for a few years, you young whippersnappers in this room, we got a few, a lot of junior church kids are downstairs, but we have some young adults in the room, maybe teenager in their 20s. You have no idea yet what life is like yet. You got a long way to go, right? Us old timers, right? Us old timers are speaking from experience. Somebody said this, and I don't know, but I have it in quotes, and I wrote it down. Outlook determines outcome, and attitude determines action. I'll say it again if you want to write it down. Outlook determines outcome, and attitude determines action. Again, the Bible says, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. That means that diverse temptations, trials, and tribulations are going to come. Now, it's nice that we have some mountaintops, or maybe halfway up or halfway down, however you look at it. But valleys are going to be in your life also. You're going to go through some valleys. They could be dark, dingy, depressing, gloomy, problems. If you're not in one now, you've either been through a valley or you're going to go through the valley. That's the good news on the horizon. There's a valley in your forecast somewhere. Look at John 16. Or to John 16. Did you know that Jesus told us this? Some people think when they get saved, all problems are gone. Hallelujah. Well, I will say this, that you'll be able to handle your problems a lot differently as a saved person than you did before you got saved. Right? Your outlook is different. Remember what I just said, outlook determines outcome. And attitude determines action. So your attitude and your outlook as a Christian should be completely different than a lost person. So it's not that you're going to be able to go through problems and trials differently or easy, I should say. It's just going to allow you to get through them with some hope and with God's blessing. John 16:33, it says in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Doesn't Jesus say that in the world ye shall have tribulation? Right? He's telling us that. Why is it surprising for the Christian when the Christian goes through all kinds of problems and they just go berserk? The Bible tells us that we are going to go through these times in our life. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 3, 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. So even Paul, we have Jesus telling us in John 16, we have Paul the apostle telling us here, or telling the church of Thessalonica, that we are going to go through tribulation. We will suffer some tribulation. Now, I personally don't believe that we as a church, we as Christians are going to go through the great tribulation period. I believe we're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation. We are pre-tribulationists. We are pre-tribulation rapture. We got a lot of confusion on that issue today, and maybe you view something different. We can differ on some things, but don't get so adamant and so mad and angry over the situation. I prefer going before the tribulation. If you want to go through the tribulation period, have at it. I don't want to go through the tribulation period. I want to be raptured out before the tribulation period. If somebody is in a church that believes that they're going to go through the tribulation, I would recommend you leave that church and find a church that's going to go before the tribulation. Amen? I mean, that to me makes a lot of sense. Why would you want to go through the great tribulation period? Have you read the book of Revelation? We're reading the book of Revelation right now in our Bible reading. I don't want to go through that. As a saved person, I don't want to go through that. You don't want to go through that. You don't want to go through what they're going to have to go through and suffer during that awful 7-year period. You don't want the tribulation period. I don't want the tribulation period. I'm thankful that I'm not going through the tribulation period. If you are, I'll pray for you. How's that? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're going to suffer some persecution. We're going to go through some hard times in our life. Acts 14:22. Come on, you can keep up. Acts 14:22. The Bible is the best medicine, the best help. Acts 14:22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Again, this is not dealing with the tribulation period. It's just saying that, listen, in order for us, as Christians, we are going to go through tribulation. We are going to go through problems and trials and testings in our life. We are definitely going to go through these things in our life. It's not all mountaintop experiences. You and I are going to go through some valleys. And we're going to go through maybe some very deep valleys in our life. Just realize it and thank God that you can go through something with Him. Hebrews 11:25. Hebrews 11, verse 25. Hebrews 11:25. Talking about Moses and the choices that he made in his life. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know what many Christians want today? The pleasures of sin for a season. They would choose pleasure over suffering. If it came to that, do you choose suffering or do you choose pleasure? Well, probably most of us would say, I'll take the pleasure, please. I'll take the pleasure. Behind that door, yeah, I'll take that door over there. That's pleasure. I want that. People don't normally want trials and tribulations and testings in their life. Normally, right? I mean, normally, do you really desire that? Oh, Lord, give me some, you know, great massive tribulation to go. No, we don't sit around thinking about that. But some people go through some massive tribulation in their life. Terrible things that people go through. Do you know that some trials just come because we're human? We're human? Yeah, we're human. Okay, we're living in a cursed world. I'm living in a cursed body. We're around the cursed things of the world. Every one of us are. And so some things are going to happen to us just because we are human, like sickness. Sickness. Most human beings that I know get sick. Sometime in her life. I was a sick kid when I was growing up. I had this bronchitis, and I remember sitting on the edge of the couch barely breathing. The doctor would have to come to the house with a needle this long. And as a kid, you know, bend over, drop your trousers, and it went in one side and out the other. That's what it felt like anyway. I swear he hit a bone back there one time. I couldn't sit for days. I said, Mom, don't ever have that. He was an Army doctor. I'll tell you what. He was our family doctor. He was an Army doctor and retired and became a doctor in Jordan. Anybody remember Dr. Whiteley? Yes? No? Oh, he was Dr. Whiteley in Jordan. He was our family doctor. But he'd come to the house. He'd carry that little black bag. And in that black bag was these, I don't know how he did it, but he put these huge needles in there. And he had the worst tasting medicine you'd ever taste in your life. It was this yellow stuff. It looked like mucus. That's what it looked like. And take 2 teaspoons of this every day. It was awful. But it helped us. And then my mother had her own little remedies. Save the baby. You ever remember to save the baby? Save the baby. She'd get a teaspoon of sugar and pour that stuff was awful. You had to eat it with sugar. Pour that stuff in it. Take this. And then she'd service us stuff that was had cross skull and crossbones on it. She'd give us that. It was from Watkins. It was like a horse liniment. My mom changed the name to Hot Drops. She made it nice. Come on, Terry, have some Hot Drops. So Terry would go over, she'd boil some milk or something, she'd heat it up, put a little sugar in there, and drop these this horse liniment in there with the cross, and it was do not take internally. It said right on there. And mom is giving, but you know what? Healed us. It took care of us. Just drink a glass of that. This will help you. You know, your parents, old timers always had these little things that they'd give you. Oh my goodness. We went through, it was terrible. And she'd rub this stuff all over our chest if we had a cold. You ever do that? Yeah, Vicks vapor rub. Just smear it all over the body. You walked around and your tears just flowing out constantly from the fumes of this stuff. It was awful. I swear, I think she was trying to kill us kids off. I think she was tired of us. You drink this, take this, smear this all over your body. But I'll tell you, it seemed to work. I'm okay today. A little weird up here, but okay today. And I think some of that stuff went to the brain. But some trials come just because we're human. The sicknesses that we go through, the accidents that happen in our life. I mean, do you ever have just an accident? You say, where'd that come from, right? I mean, just something happened. It's you know what it is? It's part of being alive as a human being. Accidents happen. Coming up the stairs this morning from the basement with a hot cup of coffee, man. You know what? I tripped going up the stairs. I said, you idiot, why did you do that? Don't you know how to walk up the stairs? I'm talking to myself. Don't you know how to walk upstairs, you dummy? I had to clean up the coffee off the stairs. I didn't get hurt, no. No, I still had some coffee there. Yeah, I should have taken a chair. Yeah. It's time. I guess it's time for the chair. I know we got that chair for some reason. Nobody else seems to use it. I guess the preacher will start having to use it. I can go down okay. It's just coming up. But I got these long shoes on, and they seem to catch underneath. Okay. All right. Accidents, disappointments. You ever just been disappointed? Even tragedies happen. Tragedies. That's just because we're human. Do you know some trials come just because we're Christians? Do you ever think about that? I'm a Christian. So guess what? You got trials coming as a human. Now you're saved. And you got more trials coming. Now don't sit there and think, well, I guess I don't want this. No, you want this. You want Christianity. You want salvation. You want that. But just because we're Christians, we have some other trials that are going to come our way. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verses 12 through 19. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Peter talks about this more than once in his letters. Remember, he's writing to a bunch of hurting Christians, Peter is. And he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ," look at this, "happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. So some trials come just because we're saved. Just because we're saved. Peter says, don't think it's strange. Get used to it. Why is that? Well, you got the devil attacking you constantly. You got the world bombarding you constantly. And then you're dealing with yourself. And yourself is enough to go against you. Your flesh is always tempting you to do something that you shouldn't do, right? Amen. Amen. Yes, it is. Your flesh is tempting you. Your spirit is saying, no, don't do that. And your flesh is saying, come on, it's good, it's fun, it's enjoyable, it's a pleasure, whatever. Tastes good, whatever. You're constantly being bombarded with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And as a Christian, you seem to have it even more than you did before. Satan is fighting with us, and the world opposes us, and this makes life for a life of battle. The dedicated, trusting Christian, though, can have joy in the midst of the trials. That's a dedicated, trusting Christian. Even though they're going through horrible things in their life, they can still go through life with joy. Peter mentions that. In verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy. Happy? You mean I can be happy through this thing? You can be. You can be. If you choose to be happy. See, remember, you choose your attitude. No, I just want to spit and sputter and complain and grumble and gripe. Okay, you can go ahead and do that. You can spit and sputter and do, you know, if you want that kind of an attitude, nobody else is going to want to be around you anyway. So just go ahead. Do it. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. This takes the cake right here. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Who's our greatest example ever? Ever, ever, ever? Jesus Christ. He is our greatest example. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Values determine evaluation. Your values determine your evaluation on things. However you look at things, your values, wherever they are, will determine the evaluation of what's going on in your life. If we value comfort more than character, then trials are going to upset us. Now listen carefully when I give you these things, because these things can help you. Again, I'll say it again. If we value comfort more than character, then trials are going to upset you. Have you been through a trial lately? Just think. Just don't speak out loud too much. If you've been through a trial lately, how did you get through the trial? How did you go through it? Again, if you value your comfort more than character, you know what trials do? They develop character. You know what our problem is with a lot of our churches today, Bible-believing churches? We got a bunch of immature Christians in our churches because they can't deal with a trial. They go nuts when something bad happens to them. They go berserk. I mean, they're calling the preacher, they're calling this one, they're calling that one. They're just trying to figure out why are they going through this and what's going on, and they can't handle it. It's because, I'm sorry, but it's because of your immaturity. In Christ, in God, trials mature us. They grow us up. That's what they do. But if you value your comfort more than character, then trials are going to upset you. If we value the material and the physical rather than the spiritual, we'll not be able to count it all joy when we're going through that. Too much of this going on today, even in our good churches, in our Bible-believing churches, is people value their comfort and their physical and material possessions more than their spiritual possessions. They count their material things and their toys more valuable than the spiritual blessings that God has given to us. And if we only live for the present, and not for the future, and you know what I'm talking about for the future, that's for Jesus Christ in heaven someday, then trials are going to make you bitter, not better. Trials can make a Christian better. They'll do one or the other. They'll make you bitter towards God or bitter towards other people or bitter towards the church or whatever. Or they'll make you a better person from the trials that you're going through. Look at Job 23. You think Job may have had an idea of what was going on? You think maybe he pretty much, to me, it's my own opinion, he pretty much tops everybody when it comes to trials and tribulations. Job chapter 23, and I know so many Christians that are going through problems think, oh, Job, I have it worse than Job. No, you don't have it worse than Job. No. You wouldn't even want to be in the shoes of Job. I wouldn't want that. What he went through? But look what he says. This is Job. Again, he's answering. He's answering his so-called friends there as they're accusing him of all kinds of things. And he simply says in Job 23 in verse 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take." I believe he's talking about God here. "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Job didn't always have the right attitude, but he got it right there. And he realized that God was just trying to do something in his life. What we need to do is look at trials through the eyes of faith and the eyes of hope. For a Christian, what do we have, folks? We have the Lord. As Christians, don't we have a lot of hope? Isn't hope something that we're constantly thinking about? It should be. It should be. I got a bunch more things written down here. I don't have time to give them to you. You'll have to come back tonight for the other several points. I'll give them to you quickly, and then you come back tonight for the good stuff that goes along with these. But number two, understanding, have an understanding mind. We'll look at that tonight. Have an understanding mind is what we need. Number three, have a surrendered will through trials and tribulations. And number four, have a believing heart. God can do some amazing things. We're going to look at some interesting stuff tonight, so please come back here for the rest of that. Folks, listen, trials are inevitable. Problems are going to happen. We're human beings. You might break a bone. Anybody ever break a bone? I've never broken a bone in my life. I have never broken a bone. I've never had a stitch. Never gotten cut so bad I had to have stitches. Anybody with that? I figure a whopper's coming to me one of these days. I'm going to get both, broken bones and stitch. I hope not, but I figured I've only been in a hospital for a tiny short time, one day, to take out a little something on my throat that was there. And that was it. That was 10, 11 years ago. I couldn't talk good, so they found a little nodule on my voice box, and the guy went in there and clipped it and sent me home the same day. That's the extent of my hospital stays. I got a big one coming one of these days. I just know it. No, I hope not. But listen, trials and tribulations do happen to us. We have things break. We have things, you know, not work. We have, you know, all kinds of stuff happens. That's just because we're human. We're not superhumans yet. One of these days when we get to heaven, thank God the problems, the trials, the tribulations are going to cease. No more death, no more crying, no more tears, no more pain. Thank God for that. I noticed I'm getting older. I have these pains. I had to go to the doctor this last week. This shoulder bothers me a lot. I have rotator cuff tendonitis. I got to go to physical therapy. They gave me a shot of cortisone in the shoulder, and it didn't do a thing for me. Didn't do much at all. Still hurts. So now I got to go to therapy, where they're going to take my arms and they're going to twist them around all over me and teach me how to do these weird things with my shoulder to get that tendonitis, if it ever. He says, oh, if it's not better in 4 to 6 weeks, come on back. And I don't know what he meant by come on back. I don't know if he's going to go inside, cut it off right about here. I don't know. But the left shoulder hurts. The left knee hurts. We have things like that hurt. This thumb, I think I have arthritis in the hand. It hurts. Can I keep going? But we have all of that. We have these things, right? I mean, that's life. We're going to go through things and trials and tribulations. You're going to get bad news. You're going to get a phone call with bad news on it. You're going to open up an email and get bad news. You're going to open up a text and get bad news. That's just inevitable in our life. How we handle that is where our faith in Jesus Christ rests. Father, thank you, Lord, again, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, that you are our hope.